In scuttling out and leaving Jack in the lurch, the surviving Magog Sec men had inadvertently provided him and the rescued hostage an excellent diversion. With all the general fire going on, nobody paid any mind to shots coming from inside the house. Moreover, the muties still within the house, who had all been on the bottom floor, went racing out straight away when Brassard opened fire, without even noticing their three comrades weren't dead drunk, but merely dead. When Skies burst out of the bedroom a moment later, tumbled down the stairs and ran out the back door, still hollering and clutching his impaled hand, he had simply fled into the hills without alerting anybody that more foes were about. Half the muties, still functional, went lurching into the forest behind the main house in pursuit, hungover or still drunk. The others stood peering outward in all directions, fearful the pesky locals had decided to mount a concerted attack and firing off stray shots on general principle and to reassure themselves. When an albino youth and a beautiful naked woman, who was a head taller than he was, with black hair streaming behind her like a banner, burst out of the front door and raced madly for the corral, it took only a few heartbeats for anyone to notice.
Oh, shit!
Shots began to crack. Dust spurted up from the yard, nowhere near the fugitives. Jack carried a giant blaster in one hand and a heavy burden in a pillowcase in the other. As he and the girl neared the corral and bullets began to hit closer, he paused, crouched, and fired the hand blaster. And it knocked him on his ass.
At least you didn't drop it.
Fucking comedian.
Maria Elena vaulted the corral fence of peeled poles in a single bound. The horses reared and shied away from her. They all had on halters. She grabbed the lead rope of one and swung onto its bare back. Jack had picked himself and his burden up.
Gate!
Right.
Jack ran around the fence as muties fired lustily at him, yanked up the rusty baling wire loop that held the gate shut, and swung it open. Maria Elena trotted the bay mare forward and reached a hand to help pull Jack up behind her as he stuffed the raging bull down his pants again. Still holding his parcel, he put his free hand around her waist and pressed his face into her hair.
Yeah, yeah!
She kicked the horse's flanks with her bare heels, and they went galloping into the scrub-clad hills in an ineffectual storm of lead. The Baron of Tucumcari kept moaning.
Oh, my daughter, my daughter!
The general concentrated on his sec men.
Tell me again why you failed in your mission and left two of your comrades behind.
The general stood, resplendent in a metal-bedecked OD jacket, riding pants, spit-shined boots, and chromed helmet, on the steps of his personal car, looking grandly down upon the ville and its inhabitants.
Well, wild albino boy must have alerted the muti somehow, sir. All we know is we heard shooting and screams from the main house, and they were all over us, firing up a storm. Poor cons, he caught a whole burst, never had a chance. Guess the kid never did neither. All we could do was shoot our way clear. We must have dropped 8, 10 of them apiece, but they just kept coming. And I'm so sorry about your daughter, Baron Sanchez, sir. If anybody could have saved her, we would have. But there was just too many of them. Oh, Jesus, those muti scum.
Oh, madre de Dios.
Brassard spat expressively in the dirt, then was overcome by emotion.
Let me take them down, General! Let me take them! Just give me the men, the whips, the wags! I'll scour the filthy bastards off the face of the earth! I swear!
He acted as if he was about to madly hurl himself somewhere not immediately apparent, so that Buddy, standing near him, obligingly seized his arms to restrain him. The corporal duly began to struggle with him, not so vigorously as to risk breaking free, but raving, swearing, and red in the face. For his part, Mickles looked like he didn't know whether to laugh or puke. Mildred turned away from the news. To their surprise, both Mildred and JB had been allowed out of the train at once. Of course, Doc was still securely inside, temporarily indisposed, the general said. Although they seemed fully and justly trusted to do the jobs they'd been assigned within Magog, it seemed one thing hadn't changed. They were still hostages for one another.
I can't believe Jack didn't make it. Sometimes he seems so vulnerable. But then other times he was like a force of nature. I never thought it could happen to him.
The armorer had never thought of Jack as vulnerable, but for once, tact, or taciturnity anyway, got the better of him. He patted her reassuringly.
Don't be too sure, Millie. These railwag heroes don't strike me as having a sense to pour piss out of a boot with the instructions printed on the heel. Maybe Jack's gone, maybe he isn't. And there's always Christy.
Yeah, 400 miles away in Arizona. How will we ever find her again?
I don't know. But we will. We'll get shut of these yahoos. Then
I'm afraid I can't oblige you, son. We're on a mission. One bigger even than avenging two fallen comrades. We can't spare any more time. But I promise you this. Once we've gotten our objective, we shall return and hunt down these muti scum like the filthy animals they are.
Corporal Brassard at last tore free of his friends and threw himself on the bare tan ground, which he commenced to beat with his fists.
Vengeance, General! Let me have my revenge on those muti bastards! Let me at him! Let me at him! I'm begging you! Please!
Maybe we can save you the trouble, Corporal.
Oh, shit.
Captain Mark Helton, who stood on the right of way just below and beside his general, pointed over the heads of the crowd. Trotting down the main drag of the little shantyville came a bay horse, rolling its eyes and flaring its nostrils. On its back rode a beautiful black-haired woman, stark naked. Behind her rode Jack Lauren. The crowd parted to let them through. The girl rode up to her father, who was standing open-mouthed, and hauled up on the lead rope to stop the horse. She flew off its back and almost knocked the Baron on his duff, seizing him in a hug. Corporal Brassard was on all fours like a dog. His face was about one shade darker than Jack's. Private Mickles wasn't as dumb as he looked. He had already begun to back through the crowd of townspeople, hoping to slide away unnoticed. But two members of Hubertus's security police, in their white helmets, materialized on either side of him and laid hard arms upon him. Jack swung off the horse and swaggered up to the general. He carried a pillowcase that had been pressed into service as a sack, heavy laden. Its closed end soaked through and dripping red. White-helmeted SPs leveled long blasters at him, and even Helton dropped a hand to the butt of his service blaster. Ignoring them, Jack grabbed the gore-sodden bottom of the pillowcase and upended it. The huge, severed head of El Cabron fell out, bounced, and rolled so close that the twin worms of blue-green snot that had emerged from the mutie's nostrils post-mortem violated the sheen of the general's left boot toe.
Got girl, got mutie. Mission accomplished.
Yeah!